Good morning. How are y'all doing today? If you would, we join with me in prayer as we go before the Lord. Father God, we come before you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father God, in His holy and precious name, we come before you and ask for your grace and mercy today to hear your word preached, to receive it into our souls, to apply it in our life. Father God, we need you of every moment of every day, not just in the hearing of your word on Sunday, but in the living it out every day of the week. Jesus Christ, fill us now. Fill us now full with the power of the Holy Ghost. In your name, Jesus, your power, your authority, to God Almighty we pray. Amen. If you would please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Now, some of y'all might realize I'm blind, and here I am opening my Bible like I'm flipping to Isaiah 6, 3. That's called a visual cue. because I'm not going to get up here and give you my opinion. I want you to go to the Word of the Lord this morning, because God's Word has for us today what we need to hear. Now, if you're in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, if you want to move over with another finger to John chapter 12, verse 41, that's the verse I'm going to end on. But as you might want to stay in Isaiah 6, 3, that's fine. As you look there, here's the scripture verse for this morning. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. I love that passage of Scripture in Isaiah. Now, I could have preached this sermon today. Yes, I can preach it from Isaiah, and that is where I'm going to land today. But I could preach the same sermon from the book of Revelations or 2 Corinthians. You see, the whole Bible is inspired by God. The Old Testament isn't some foregone dispensation, and the New Testament is just for us today. 2 Timothy says the all of Scripture is given by inspiration. As Cumberland's Our Confession of Faith points out, it's the whole Bible for us. And so in today's sermon, we're going to look at the power of the Word of God from Isaiah to John. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and read all that because we'd be here for a long time, but I'm going to show you how those two verses connect up wonderfully. As you look at the verse there in Isaiah, you have one crying unto another. Now, a little context. It's a prophecy given to Isaiah, and he's seeing the kingdom of heaven, and you have the cherubim and the seraphim and the messengers, the angels of God there, and they're crying one to another. What they're doing is antiphonal singing. In other words, you have one side singing unto the other side, and they're singing back and forth. So think for a minute of the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Y'all know the song, Holy, Holy, Holy? Okay, good. Amen. So one side would sing verses 1 and 3, and the other side would sing verses 2 and 4. And you'd sing back and forth before the Lord God Almighty. So that as you're witnessing what's going on here in Isaiah, that's what they're doing. They're crying. They're singing one to another. And they're singing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. Stop right there for a minute. You have the words holy and glory in Isaiah 6:3. Now, these words are important to us as Christians because those two words we're going to be using a lot. Think of the singing we're going to be doing. So, what does that word holy mean? The word glory is important too, because if we were to go to 2 Corinthians, you'd find it taught, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So it implies, it's something that we need to really dig into just a little bit. Because those two words are important across the board for all of us. Second thing is, you look at that Isaiah verse there. It says the whole earth is full of God's glory. Whole earth is full of God's glory. Anybody out there today look at the newspaper or read the news? Anybody here today? I can hear you breathing. I know you're out there. Okay, stop and think about it for a minute. Stop and think about it just for a moment. Think of the news. Think of what's been going on in the world today. That's glory. The crime, the poverty, the pain, all of that's glory. Today's sermon, we are going to dive into the glory of the Lord filling the whole earth. We certainly are. The thing I'm going to conclude with is this: absolutely true. You better believe, absolutely true. The whole earth is full of God's glory, and it does touch every human being out there. It touches the saved. It touches those who are not saved. It touches the good. It touches the bad. God's glory will affect all mankind, past, present, and future. So if you're paying attention, three things we're going to look at in today's sermon is, number one, the words glory and holy. Those are important Christian words, and we might use them an awful lot, and we might need to dig a little deeper into the definition, the meaning there. Second thing we're going to look at is how. How does God's glory fill the whole earth? How does that happen? And second, and the final thing we're going to look at, third thing is this. Yes, you can absolutely guarantee God's glory affects all mankind. We're going to look at that. Stare at that Isaiah verse just for a second. Have another look at it. You have a prophecy being unfolded here. And as the Old Testament was the shadow, the New Testament is the fulfillment. And so with this prophecy here, we have something powerful, beautiful going on, but just doesn't stop with Isaiah. It's connected to the New Testament. It's connected to us. And so we're going to look at the unfolding of this beautiful prophecy. First things first, though, as we look here at the Isaiah verses, the words glory and holy. Number one, that word holy means set apart. And so, but not just set apart as I'm up here and y'all are down there. It's set apart and it's being used in connection with God. So it means God is set apart from all evil, all wickedness. God has no evil, no wickedness. He is holy. He is perfect in love, perfect in justice, perfect in righteousness, perfect in peace, perfect in war, perfect in judgment, perfect in everything. Y'all get the picture? He's holy. And as being that holy, you have a trifold holy. He is holy. He is not just holy. He is holy, holy, holy. In other words, there's nothing beyond God in holiness. Something else theologians like to point out here is you have three holies: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy. You have the three there. And I could go into the Trinity here, and I'm going to go down that rabbit trail, but I'm going to stop because I want to now touch the word glory. This is one of those words, Christian words, that sometimes it's hard to get a grasp on in Christianity. Let's all do to the glory of the Lord. And stop a minute. What does that word mean? This is where we got to realize the Bible wasn't written in English. Y'all, I love the King James Bible. Anybody here like the King James Bible? Okay, anybody here like the NASB, the ESB, I keep on going down the alphabet soup of Bibles. The Bible was actually written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And those languages are what are called contextual. Our language is literal. So if we try and put an English definition to the word glory, it means praise. It means to adore, to lift adorations to God. So if you were thinking about the song, Holy, 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 when we sing to the Lord, we're lifting up, adoring God. So is the whole earth full of God's glory? The whole earth is singing praises to God right now with the crime, the poverty, the warfare. All that's God's glory? No, you see, God is God of truth, the God of love. He has no sin, He has no evilness, He has no wickedness. The stuff I just named off is not of God. War, poverty, famine, sin, pestilence, crime, that's not of God. Absolutely not, that is not of God. So how is the whole earth full of God's praise, full of God's glory, full of God adoring the Lord? This is where a little bit of Bible knowledge goes a long way. That word glory can be used in several different ways. For instance, if we were to go to the book of Matthew, and in the first two chapters of Matthew, you have the angels abiding in the field by night, and the sheep are out there, and all of a sudden the angels come down, and the glory of the Lord shines around them. Okay, in that instance, the word glory means light. The way I just translated the word glory here in Isaiah would mean praise and adoration. So which is it? Well, the answer is yes. It depends on the context. So what is Isaiah talking about here? The prophecy that's going on right here. John chapter 12, verse 41. Prophesied in the old, fulfilled in the new. Old Testament, the shadow. New Testament, the fulfillment. What is this glory that Isaiah was being told about? John chapter 12, verse 41. It's Jesus, y'all. Jesus is the power, the glory, the resplendent beauty, God Almighty in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And so you have this prophecy in the Old Testament pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty made flesh, perfect beauty, perfect righteousness, that is Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, rose again from the dead, perfect, absolutely. So now as you stop and you think about it, so how does this prophecy say that God's glory is going to be filled with the earth? Jesus Christ is going to be filled with the earth. Right now we're thinking of the poverty, we're thinking of the crime. How does that happen? This is where in the New Testament we find that Jesus Christ is the eternal judge and lawgiver. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to make all things as new. And the whole earth is going to be the resplendent glory. It's going to be made perfect, made right, all by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah is getting a glimpse of that glory as it points to the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what He's going to come and do. But this is where we Christians have to pay attention, because does the glory of the Lord touch all mankind? Everybody out there nod, yes, absolutely. For instance, who is the eternal judge and lawgiver? Jesus. This is important then. Will we stand before Jesus on the day of judgment? Will saved? Yes. Will the damned stand before? Yes. Will the good and righteous made alive by Jesus Christ stand on the day? Yep. Will those who will be cast in everlasting fire? Yep. They're going to be standing there too. So realize this from the book of Isaiah, when it talks about the glory of the Lord filling the whole earth, guess what, y'all? Jesus touches all mankind. Whether they want Him to or not, they will, because everybody's got to die and stand before the judgment. And because we stand before the judgment, we will be judged. But how many here believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior? Amen?
Amen.
Then your judge and lawgiver says, redeemed. The judge stands up and said, pardoned, forgiven. And see, this is important with that word, forgiven. It doesn't mean your sins have been forgiven, stuck in a file over here, we'll hold on to it just in case you mess up, and if you do mess up, then I'm going to reach down and smack you. That's not what it means. The word forgiven means expunged, washed away, as in doesn't exist at all. So when Jesus says you're forgiven indeed, that means your sins are gone. They don't exist anymore. So when we stand on the day of judgment and we call out the name of Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my High Priest, you're my King, the judge looks back at us and say, I know you, forgiven. But all mankind will stand there. Will all mankind, everybody, universalism, receive forgiveness? Not according to Jesus. This is where it's important for us to realize we are reflections of God's glory. You see, we believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Do we just bottle that up, stick it in a box, and go hide in a room? We are to go out amongst all the nations, all the world, teaching what Jesus Christ taught, baptizing in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We're to tell people about Jesus. As ours, I bet there is a candle. Is there a candle down here? Y'all help out the blind guy. Everybody nod. Yeah, there's a candle down here. If I stuck a mirror up behind the candle, it reflects the light of the candle. I have God the Holy Ghost inside of me. Jesus Christ is the glory. I need to be reflecting that glory on a daily basis. How do you do that? You know, if I was just to stand up here and say, the glory of the Lord, you need to go do something with it. Good, now we'll close the sermon, y'all go home. I haven't done anything. I haven't taught y'all anything. Here, I've given you a little bit of demonstration how this Old Testament prophecy is New Testament fulfilled. Now let's move into New Testament application. How do you reach out with the glory of the Lord? With your lips and with your life. Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus lived the gospel. The disciples lived the gospel. The disciples preached the gospel. With your lips and with your life. Next time you're out at a restaurant someplace, pay somebody else's meal. Hey, if you want, leave a little note that goes along with it for the glory of the Lord. Don't put your name down, because then the glory goes to you and not to God. Pay their meal. The glory of the Lord be with you. You know your neighbor is sick and in need? Cut their grass. They come out to pay you? Say, no, this is in the name of Jesus. You didn't give a cup of cold water. You gave a lawnmower and a grass cutting. But the same principle is there. You find there are many people in need. Y'all are up at Pikeville in Kentucky. There you go. And y'all are helping out folks in need. Well, if somebody were to ask you why, it's the glory of the Lord. Jesus Christ is going to return. And people need to know Him as their Lord and Savior. Not for this church. I'm glad for the folks here. Y'all make up the body of Christ here. This is a nice building and everything. But take that glory of the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and reflect it out into this dark, sinful world. Because Jesus is coming again. And when He comes, fully in the flesh, steps upon this planet again, all that darkness of sin, boom, it's gone. And it's over at that point. No second chances. When the judgment day comes, ain't no do-overs. No second chances. It's either believing in Christ as our Lord and Savior or not. No on the fence with that one. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to say, you can probably think of other ways that you can share the glory of the Lord with others. But I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to close this in prayer. And we're going to sing to the glory of the Lord. And I'm not going to ask y'all to sing antiphonally, by the way. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You how the Old Testament and the New Testament brought together by the power of Your inspiration. How the whole Bible teaches us about Jesus. Teaches us about how to preach and pray and live all to Your glory, Your honor, Your praise, and Your adoration. Father God, we ask and pray for Your strength to do this. For Father God, don't leave us to our own devices. We can't glorify You without You. We need You, Lord. We need You to strengthen us, to glorify You in the ways that You have taught us to glorify You. Be our power to do that, Lord. Father God, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, power of the Holy Ghost who dwells within those who believe in Jesus. And God, I pray in Your holy, precious, and wonderful name. For in the name of Jesus, all God's children said, Amen.